Thank you, Brother Tim. Let's take our Bibles now and turn to 1 Peter, if you will, chapter 5. 1 Peter, chapter 5. While you're turning there, let me take the opportunity to thank you for your cards and the nice notes that you wrote in the cards, encouraging notes, and for the gifts that you gave us. We appreciate it so much. Thank the church for what they did. An honorarium that they gave me, and then one that they're giving to the seminary, the Norris Seminary. And it'll be in my honor. I start saying my memory. That's a little too, we don't want that yet, but that may come someday. But anyway, thanks to the church and the pastor and everybody and all of you. It's so encouraging, and we really appreciate it. I want you to know that, and thank God for it. Well, it's not what you think it is, so let's look at today's lesson, and this is lesson number 11, The Way Up is Down. The way up is down, according to the Bible. 1 Peter chapter 5, and let's read just two verses right now, verses 5 and 6. 1 Peter chapter 5. Verses 5 and 6. Verse 5, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. Notice what he's saying there. Be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. That's a good thought, isn't it? It's a sobering thought. Verse 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, in the right time, in the right way. God will exalt us to use us in a greater capacity or bless our lives in a greater way as long as we start out in humility. Now, when we think about the world around us, our secular world, that's not the way they think. In the secular world, we had different levels of authority. In military, you have officers and you have the enlisted men. In sports, you have the coach or coaches. And then you have the players, and then in the corporate world, you have CEOs, you have managers, and then you have those that we would call laborers. And that's the way the secular world works. And the secular world has in it what we would call a pecking order. And that pecking order has to do with people and the way they think of themselves. And it speaks of the person who has the greatest personality. A lot of times, maybe the person's in a position to have the greatest authority, or maybe somebody who has had a great deal of financial success. They're well off. They have money. And so we recognize that, the main boss, the most powerful politician. But that's not God's way. That isn't God's way. 1 Peter 5 through 6, we just read, and he's talking here very clearly about God's position. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. Be clothed with humility. Are you clothed with humility today? Are you clothed with humility? You got your Sunday best on to come to church, but are we clothed with humility? And so we are to be humble, and God said he would exalt us. The word humble has this idea to it, to make low, humble ourselves, make ourselves low, to assign a lower rank, to have a modest opinion of ourselves, a very modest opinion of ourselves. George Washington Carver, the scientist, he developed hundreds of useful products for the peanut. And when he was questioned about it, he answered in this way. He said, when I was young, I said to God, God, tell me the mystery of the universe. But God answered, that knowledge is reserved for me alone. So I said, God, tell me the mystery of the peanut. Then God said, well, George, that's more nearly your size. And he told me. And so he was humble about it. He was giving God the glory for it and just stating he knew his position. Andrew Murray, who was in Africa, a preacher and writer and teacher in years gone by, said this, humility is perfect quietness of heart. It is to expect nothing, to wonder at nothing that is done to me, to feel nothing done against me. It is to be at rest when nobody praises me and when I am blamed or despised. It is to have a blessed home in the Lord where I can go in and shut the door and kneel to my Father in secret and am at peace as in a deep sea of calmness when all around and above is troubled. That's a pretty good description of what it is to be humble and know your place and know how to depend on the Lord. Humility is not natural, is it? It really isn't natural. It's something that has to be worked at with the power of the Holy Spirit of God, because it's sort of a natural tendency that everybody wants to be the best. It's just human nature. That doesn't mean we're not to try to excel and do what we can, but it's not that the goal is that you're better than somebody else. And in James 4:10, God says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Humble yourself before God, and God is the one that's going to lift you up. And so only God can lift you up. He's the one that has the task to do it. And true greatness always comes from whom? It comes from God. Always comes from God. In the things that really matter in life, true greatness comes from God. In the Old Testament, God always did the lifting up. For instance, in Joshua followed Moses. And my, he had a task ahead of him, didn't he? And that task was, he knew that he needed God. And without God lifting him up and exalting him, he was not going to be able to lead these people. But God gave him the success, Joshua 3:7. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And so he said, I'll magnify you. God was doing the magnifying. Saul, King Saul, Samuel told Saul that God used him back when he was humble, but he quit using him when he wasn't humble anymore. 1 Samuel 15:17. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, when you were humble, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. Who did the anointing? Well, the Lord did the anointing. Same was true with David. David, Nathan the prophet, came to David. And in 1 Chronicles 17:7-8, he said, now therefore thus shalt thou say unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepfold or the sheepkit, even from following the sheep, that thou shouldest be ruler over my people Israel. And a sheepkit or a sheepfold was an area that was closed in with a wall, had one door going into it, and the sheep would come in with their shepherds. They all knew their names, but they would put them behind it. Well, David was doing that kind of thing. That's what he was, and he was tending sheep when Nathan let him know what God was going to do with him. So in order to make an impact on life, the life of others, and our own life make an impact, then we need God's favor as they did. Now, let's think about four directions in order for us to have humility that God wants us to have. Four directions that we can look at to have humility. Number one in your outline is humble yourselves by looking up. Humble yourselves by looking up. Well, who do we look up to? We look up to Christ. obviously the greatest example of humility is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we need to look at what Jesus did. Look up and look at what Jesus did. Heaven and came to earth, and he gave up the independent use of his divine attributes. You know, for instance, he could have called 10,000 angels when he was on the cross, but he didn't do it. He could have, and that's what we're talking about and throughout his life. But he allowed the cross. He allowed the cross for us. That's Jesus. And he came and lived his life on earth. And as he lived his life on earth, he humbled himself. He was kind to others. He served others. That was Christ. Philippians 2, 5 through 10. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Do we indeed today have the mind of Christ? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He goes on to describe it. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Jesus became a servant. He humbled himself, and we're supposed to be like that. On one occasion, Jesus washed the apostles' feet. The disciples were there with him, and he told them that they should likewise take that, the idea behind that, and the teaching behind that, and serve others. Now, that's not normal in our culture, but it was in their cultures. They wore sandals and walked through the desert and so on and so forth. But there are many other ways that we can do the same thing. We can accomplish the same thing. Foot washing is not an ordinance of the church, but the idea behind it and what Christ did is something we should mimic, and that is we should be willing to humble ourselves to serve others. John 13, 15, for I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. And God gave us through Jesus that example. So when Jesus came to earth, what did he do? He gave up everything for us. He humbled himself in any way and every way that we can think of imaginable. He did that. So look at what Jesus did. Next, look at what Jesus said. Look at what he said. Proud people slip in praise of themselves when they're talking. You know anybody like that? Are we not like that sometimes? Proud people. You can tell, you can pretty well tell if people are humble or not. If they're not, they have a disease called I-itis. And they can't tell about three or four statements before they're talking about themselves. And all about themselves. But humble people are people who focus on God and they focus on others. Let me say that again. Humble people are people who focus on God and focus on others. And we're to be like that. We're to be humble. John 5:19, Jesus served the Father. He said, then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. In John 6:38, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And so he came in order to do this. And then in John 8:50, and I seek not mine own glory, there is one that seeketh and judgeth. He's talking about the Father. So, obviously, Jesus was not self-absorbed, was he? He always looked out at others, and he always wanted to please the Father. That was number one in his life. It should be number one in my life, in your life. Number one thing is to please the Father. But what about ourselves? Well, we have a tendency always to focus on self, to seek our own glory, and to get praise and credit for even the very smallest things that we do. And that's all right if people maybe compliment you or whatever, but that should not be what we're seeking for, is for the people to notice us. We get sometimes bent out of shape if the smallest things we do are not noticed by other people in the church. And so Christ rebukes our pride. He rebukes our pride. And then we have John the Baptist. John the Baptist did not promote himself. He gave us an example, John 1:27. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. He said, I'm not even worthy. We'd say it today, I'm not worthy to untie his shoes. John 3:30, when he said he must increase, but I must decrease. And so when we look at Jesus, we humble ourselves. Humble yourself by looking up. Then number two, humble yourself by looking in. By looking in, inward. Looking at your motives. Look at your motives for what you do. Whatever we do. You know, our hearts are very deceitful. The Bible's clear about saying that. We can fool ourselves. We can let our hearts fool ourselves. Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things. It's desperately wicked. Who can know it? And we can be deceived and think we're not proud when really we're really proud of our seeming humility. There's an old joke you heard about the guy who wrote the book on humility and how I achieved it. And so a lot of times I think we're that way. We write the book, I'm humble, and this is how I achieved all of that humility. But actually, when we're born into this world, aren't we sort of self-centered when we're born? Babies? Think of babies. Babies are self-centered. I don't want to offend you, you grandparents out there, but babies are self-centered. Newborns need attention, and they're going to get it. And they need milk, they're going to cry until they get the milk, or whatever it is. They are thinking about themselves. And then they grow older, and then they become teens, and they demand a lot of other things. And they want their way, and so on and so forth, most of the time. And then they become adults like us. And so we get real good at hiding our self-centeredness. We learn how to do that. Often, when we serve, the reason we serve is not the right reason. Our motive, sometimes people serve, and the motive is not the right motive. And Jesus gave us that in a parable in Luke 14:7-11. And he put forth a parable of those that were bidden when he marked how they chose out of the chief room, saying unto them, when thou art bidden, if any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee and him come and say to thee, give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room. Then when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher. Then thou shalt have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. So he says, don't try to run up and be the number one person on the front row in some gathering somewhere where there's a great personality there and you want to be seen. But he's saying, best thing to do is sit in the back seat and then come up. If somebody says, come on up here. If the host that is behind it says, come on up here, I want you up here. And that can happen. But that's just something that he taught there in Luke 14:7-11. And so a self-centered heart, if we're not careful, we have that, wants applause. A self-centered heart wants recognition, pats on the back, all of that. And we have to look at our motive. The motive is important. And what should be the motive? Our motive should, number one, be our love for Jesus. We're going to serve because we love him, whether anybody recognizes it or pats us on the back or anything. Love for Jesus instead of love for self. 2 Corinthians 5:14-15. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. The love of Christ pulls us, constrains us. So look at your motives. And then look at your mind. As I said, people can think highly of themselves. We can. And yet humble people think highly of God. Now he gives us another parable, and he shows how ridiculous it is to think highly of ourselves whenever we are approaching God. Luke 18, 10 through 14. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be lifted up or exalted. So it's easy for us to think highly of ourselves and poorly of other people. And pride is manifested whenever we do that. When we always going around thinking we deserve better than other people, then we have a problem. And that shows that, and especially if we think we are better than others, it shows a spiritual problem in our lives. Romans 12:3. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So we need to pray, ask God to reveal our motives to us, whether they are right or wrong. That's what David was doing when he prayed in Psalm 139. And this is a good prayer to pray every day, really. It's one that would be good to put on a card and have it by your bed or somewhere, or wherever you do your praying, where he says, search me, O God, and know my heart. You're asking God, search me and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Ask God to search our hearts and see if our motives are right. If they're not, change our motives and change our mind. But our mind and our motives ought to be focused on Jesus Christ. Now, if we'll think about it, if we had a smaller class, we could discuss it, but we don't. But what are some of the indicators in our lives that pride is creeping into our thoughts and motives? Think about that in your own life. What are some of the indicators that would indicate that we're letting that pride creep in? So, number one, humble yourself by looking up, and then humble yourself by looking in, and then humble yourself by looking out. By looking out. One of the best tests that we have for humility is our willingness to serve other people. Our willingness not to demand to be served, noticed, but our willingness to serve other people. Listen at Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, all right out of the Scriptures. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, and any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and emotions and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, nothing. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem the other better than themselves. Look not every man to his own things, but every man also on the things of others. We're so prone to say, notice me, me, I need this, it's me, it's me. When we ought to be out looking and saying, how can I help these people? What can I do for them? And what kind of needs do they have? Look out, next, look out to esteem others. Look out to esteem others. And again, in Philippians 2:3, in that part we just read, he said, esteem others better than themselves. And see, that's about our attitude. That has to do with our attitude toward other people, our attitude toward them. Esteem is actually a verb that means to regard. It's more than just having an opinion of others. It's more than that. It's talking about forming a carefully thought out conclusion based on the truth. And it doesn't mean pretend that we have others in mind. Not pretend that others are important, but to believe that other people around us are actually more important than we are. So, and simply what he's saying is value others more than yourself. And that is not a natural thing to do. A young man who had been invited to a dinner was given by a very important South African statesman. His name was John Cecil Rhodes. And this young man arrived by train. He had to go directly to where the occasion was taking place, to Rhodes' house. And when he got there, he had stained clothes. And he didn't realize that everybody there would be dressed immaculately. To the young man's horror, he found a room full of people with full evening dress. And so the important man, Rhodes himself, noticed that and realized that. And he came in wearing an old tattered suit because he wanted to make him feel at home and didn't want him to be embarrassed. He demonstrated what it is to esteem others more highly than ourselves. A lot of people would have said, "What are you doing here? You need to leave and dress up." But the main important guy went and dressed down for his benefit. So the world, as the world looks at all of these things, they value people by what they can get out of them. And so many times that's the way it is. I'm telling you, that's just human nature. We give more attention to people. What can I get out of you? What can you tell me? And I'll have time for you whenever you know what I need to know. And that's often what it is. It's not how important they are to God, but how important they are to me. So God, we've got to remember, God made every person in His image. And everyone, in other words, is valued by God. We're made in the image of God. We're trichotomatic, body, soul, and spirit, like the triune Godhead. In Genesis 1:27, so God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female, we need to remember that. Created He them. So Jesus died for all, and He thought we were worth it, didn't He? Or He wouldn't have died for us. You've heard the song, when He was on the cross, I was on His mind. We can't fathom that, but that's a reality. Hebrews 2:9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Doesn't matter their ethnicity, the color of their skin, Jesus died for everybody. And so we need to see people, and all people, esteem them highly, and remember that they're made in the image of God. We're made in God's image, and that Jesus died for all people. He died for them. So the right attitude that we would have creates a right action in our lives. Have the right attitude, and then we're going to have the right action that God wants us to have. And God says we are to serve one another. Galatians 5:13, for brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to flesh, but by love, L-O-V-E, love, serve one another. Serve one another. Philippians 2:4, look on the things of others. And again, I say, we pay close attention to ourselves, but God says, pay attention to others. Charles Meigs wrote a song entitled Others. I like the song. And it says, Lord, help me to live from day to day in such a self-forgetful way that even when I kneel to pray, my prayer shall be for others. Others, Lord, yes, others, let this my motto be. Help me to live for others that I might live like Thee. That's true, isn't it? Living for others instead of self, self, self. So when we see Jesus others as Jesus sees them, then we can serve them. Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. And He gave His life a ransom for many. So the best way we can serve others, primarily, the number one way is to win them to Christ. Tell them about Jesus. That's one of the best ways we can give them the gospel. Those that you're around the most, at work or your family or wherever it is, give them the gospel. We should always be willing to serve others and our brothers and sisters in Christ. Think about our church right now, the people that are going through problems right now, maybe some in your neighborhood, certainly some in our church. What can we do? Could it be a phone call, a little note, or maybe a visit, or whatever it might be, or just let them know when you see them, you're praying for them. We can certainly do that to encourage them. So humble yourself by looking up and then by looking in, by looking out, and very quickly humble yourself by looking around. We look around, we see the results of pride in our world today, don't we? I mean, it's everywhere. We see it all over the place. And it's a powerful motivator. But we ought to embrace humility. Pride hurts people in many, many different ways all around in our culture and society. So pride keeps people from getting saved. Pride keeps people from getting saved. Why won't they get saved? So many times it's just pride. We have the story of Belshazzar in the book of Daniel. Belshazzar had seen his father Nebuchadnezzar humbled by God and saw him repent and turn to God. But when it came to Belshazzar, he was too proud and he lifted up his own heart in pride. Daniel 5:22-23 records it, "And thou his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this." And of course you know the rest of that story, how God did take care of him and humble him. So it takes humility to admit you're a sinner. That's why a lot of people won't get saved. Me, a sinner? You know, you've got to get them lost, and some people resent that. They'll tell you right away how good they are. And then God will judge sin. They've got to admit that. It takes humility to understand that. And that you cannot earn your way to heaven. It takes humility to say, I can't do it. I have to depend on someone else. Who is that? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the humble cry out to God to save them. Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But they come to that place where they know that. So pride keeps people from getting saved, and pride keeps people from doing right. From doing right. Why is it that couples refuse to get help for their marriages? Why is it that they go on and on sometimes for years without settling the problem? Why is it that couples refuse to get help sometimes? It's because of pride. And I know it takes two, but sometimes it's simply because of the pride of one or both in that family why they refuse to get the kind of help that they should get. They're too proud. And I pastored many, many years, and I can tell you, that was always a problem with people who are having problems. The first thing, they wait till the bomb is already blasted before they come and try to get some help because they're too proud to call the pastor and get some counseling, and they wait until it's almost too late to do anything with it. Of course, with Christ, it's never too late, but they remain backslidden for months and sometimes years. Why? Many times it's simply because of their pride. And then the results of that so many times are disastrous. Proverbs 16:18. Pride goeth before what? Destruction. And a haughty spirit before a fall. A haughty spirit. You just hang around somebody that's got a prideful, haughty spirit, and it'll take a little while, but you'll see them humbled. They'll come down. God'll bring them down. It happens. Proverbs 11:2, when pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. That's wise. Proverbs 29:23, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. So God says, humble yourselves, and I will give you the grace to do what you need to do when you do that, to take the right steps to restore a relationship to him or to restore a relationship to others. And God will help us conquer our struggles with sin in the flesh. James 4:6-8. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your heart, you double-minded. Humble yourself. That's what He's saying. And then pride keeps people from getting along. There's a lot of contention sometimes, and that's all rooted in pride. Proverbs 13:10, only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Proverbs 21:24, proud and haughty scorner is his name, who dealeth in proud wrath, get even with people. They're proud and refuse to admit they are wrong. That's what causes church splits. And the focus proves that everyone else is wrong. They don't even try to restore a relationship. F.B. Meyer, who was a British pastor, he was a well-known evangelist, once emphasized the need for humility in a helpful word picture. And he said, I used to think that God's gifts were on shelves, one above another. And the taller we grow, the easier we can reach them. Now I find that God's gifts are on shelves, one beneath another. And the lower we stoop, the more we get. And that is so true. So we think the way up is pridefully to promote ourselves. God said, no, 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 that's not right. It is humility. So here's what He says in these verses that we've covered. Humble yourselves by looking up. Humble yourselves by looking in. Ask God to search your heart and reveal your pride. Humble yourself by looking out. See people through the eyes of Jesus and what you can do to serve them. And humble yourselves by looking around. Let the destruction that comes through pride in your world serve as a warning to you. You see what it does to others. Don't let it do it to you. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. The way up is not what you think. The way up is down. Thank you, Lord, for your word and teaching us how we should live. Help us to do that. We are sinful. We still have the sinful nature. And Lord, it is so natural for us to be proud. We want to be noticed. It's so natural for us to want to be recognized and ministered to above others. But help us to have the mind of Christ that we might not be proud, that we would humble ourselves so that you can use us in a greater way. In Christ's name we pray, amen.